name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It's good to see you. It's good to be here with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, and let's start right there. Matthew chapter 26. The Lord began to talk to me this morning as I was just meditating about the blood of Jesus. I want to talk to you a little bit about the blood of Jesus this morning, because we need the blood of Jesus. We need to understand the blood of Jesus, and by no means am I going to exhaust the subject on the blood of Jesus. But you know, the blood of Jesus really is what separates us from every other what you call so-called religion in the world. Because we believe that it's only through His blood that Christianity is established and that man is forgiven for his sin. Without the blood of Jesus, Christianity would be just any other type religion. Without the death or shed blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity would be just like any other Buddha or Fat Buddha. That's what we used to call it. Oh, Fat Buddha. He ate a lot of beans and taters. You just look at him, you know, the statues of him anyway. But oh Buddha and Muhammad and whoever else, you know, it would be no different than any other type religion. But because of the blood of Christ, we believe that that's what separates Christianity from any other religion in the world. You know, most, if you look at any kind of religions, most of religion, they call it, I'm talking about now from the standpoint of the world speaking, they always have to earn their way or do something. Or, you know, if you watch, sometimes I've seen on Discovery Channel, Learning Channel, things like that, that people actually put hooks in themselves and jump off of things and all kind of stuff because it's supposed to give them more credibility with God. They cut themselves, you know, and I don't know if you've seen all that stuff or not, but they'll hang themselves from trees with hooks in their backs, and they'll walk down, especially in India, they do a lot of that stuff, and, you know, and they feed rats and, you know, and take their food, and their babies starve while the cow walks down the road, and, you know, it's just, from our perspective, and again, it's demented, it's wrong, it's unconscionable. You can't even think of, you know, allowing your child to starve while food is there to eat, because we have been brought up in a place that we have no about God. America is blessed. If you were born here, and I'm not saying that being born in another country is wrong, but if you were born here, I'll guarantee you, you were blessed, because we were founded as a Christian nation. Christianity is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. You must understand that and have knowledge, and I know you understand it, but you know, the Bible tells us that we need to have faith in the blood of Christ. We have faith. We talk about having faith for a lot of different things, but also we need to have faith. We'll get to that shortly, but we're turning to Matthew 26 because I believe that we're moving into a time, and we have actually crossed over that line and moved into the time that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to take us into the deeper things of God. And now, through that blood of Jesus, and once we get into that place, through His blood, then I believe that the Holy Spirit can use us the way that He desires to use us if we don't let Satan talk us out of it. But in Matthew, this is where Jesus, you know, right before Judas, I believe, has betrayed Him. We could read the whole Bible. Verse number 19 of Matthew 26, we'll just start right there. Or verse 18. Now it's verse 17. Just back up. And to kind of get a context of everything that it's talking about. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. This is talking about the Last Supper, what we call the Last Supper. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, Where wilt thou... that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with My disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, He sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray Me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with Me in the dish, the same shall betray Me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of Him, But woe of that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. In other words, he told him, Yes, you are, in a roundabout way. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my, what? Blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, or the New Contract. You understand all the New Testament, New Covenant, New Contract. We use the word contract more today than we do covenant or testament or something like that. So, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It's the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has reunited us, the human race, back to our Father God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ shedding His blood, then we could never be reunited back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just to bring out in the Scripture, He did talk about His body and how His body would be broken. And we understand that through the stripes of Jesus that we're healed, but also everything that we receive from Christ is based upon the blood. Everything that we have, and what God wants us to understand is the power of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this, and I've had experiences in talking about power of the blood. It's the blood that has signed, sealed, ratified the contract, the New Testament, the covenant between God and man. Jesus was the Son of the living God, but He laid aside His deity and He operated in this earth as a man, and He was the one that took our place and stood in behalf of the human race, and He shed His blood to enter into a covenant or contract and enter into the New Testament with God for the entire human race. And because of what Jesus did, through the power of that blood, you and I have entered into a contract with the Father God. And God says, through this covenant that we have made, through the shed blood, through Christ, the Bible says in another place that we were in Christ and we are in Him. Of course, that's hard to fathom that in our mind. We just believe it in our spirit and heart and walk it out. But we were in Christ when He hung on that cross. Do you understand that? No, because I wasn't even born. But I know that what God was looking at, He was looking at the sins and the mistakes and the failures and the breaking of the covenant that God originally intended for man to follow. He looked at all of that and He let Jesus Christ establish a covenant. Jesus Christ, in fact, is the one that actually carried out everything that we would need to accomplish God's plan, not only in this life, but in the world to come. God has us ready. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know in dealing with demons and casting demons out of people. Now, there's no just set rule. I mean, there's certain truths that we need to understand and certain things we need to know about the name of Jesus. But I know there's been times, just being led of the Spirit, the way that you're going to be the most effective today, you want to know how to be the most effective today as a Christian, the way that you or I or anyone else is going to be the most effective today is understanding how to be led of the Spirit of God and simply obey what the Spirit of God tells you in your spirit. The reason that Jesus had 100% success when He walked the face of this earth is because He was led 100% by the Father God, or the Spirit of God that dwelled inside of Him. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Isn't that what He said? And because of that, and because that He was led by the Spirit, then He had 100% success. Remember when He went to the pool of Bethesda? He didn't raise everybody up there, didn't walk up to everybody and say, rise and take up your bed and walk. As far as we know, in the Scriptures, He walked up to who? One man. Why? Because he was led of the Spirit of God to go minister to that man. The closer you're led by the Spirit of God, the more success that you're going to have as a born-again Christian. Amen. That's the truth. The more that you're led by the Spirit of God, and I can tell you how to get close to that and how to be led really just totally by God. The first thing that you got to be led by, number one, is the Word of God. The Word of God is our roadmap into the spirit world, if you would permit me to say it that way. I'm talking about where God dwells. Because everything that God's going to speak to you or direct you in can be found in the Word of God. God's not going to lead you outside of His Word. So if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God and be effective in this life, then you and I must have a constant intake of the Word of God in our life. And then number two, spend time in prayer, because that's how you get to know the Holy Spirit, is by spending time in His presence. The more you spend time in His presence, the more you're going to know who He is. And it comes by practice. Granny used to say, practice makes perfect. And it's just the truth about it. Practice makes perfect. Daddy used to say, can't, never could. In other words, you got to get in there, and yes, and society is geared different. The devil has the whole world spinning. And in fact, if you don't watch it, he'll have our life spinning. You'll be spinning in a whirlwind. You'll have 17 million things to do. Of course, I say that, you know, jokingly. But you'll have a lot of things to do except read the Word of God and spend time in prayer. But we have come to a point, and I can tell you where we're at right now in the Spirit, we've come to a point that we've got to do it or else. We've got to do it or else. If we don't do it, if we don't accomplish it, and I don't want to say what I know, but there's many more that's going to leave this planet. If we don't do it. Now, I'm not prophesying doom and gloom on nobody, but it's not, God is not going to take anybody out. The devil is on a rampage, ladies and gentlemen. He is on a rampage, and I'm not afraid of him. You shouldn't be afraid of him. If you walk in the power of God, I'm not talking about fear in any sense. But I also am talking about foolishness. If you fail to do what you know to do, then you're being foolish and you're opening up yourself to the enemy. And of course, I don't condemn you. I've done that before. You know what I mean? I've made some missteps. I've made some mishaps. I'm a human being. I don't know why, but anyway, I'm a human being. At least they call us that. I've understood that. But I know in dealing with demons, I was talking about that, that there's been times that the Holy Spirit would lead me, not every case, but the Holy Spirit would lead me just to plead the blood of Jesus. Just to plead. And I remember these demons that was in people. And I'm not talking about some little pity-patter wonder if somebody's got a demon or not, you know, or thinking, you know, maybe it's some kind of psychosomatic, or if that's the proper word, you know, I make them up sometimes. But anyway, you know, or somebody, you know, goofed up or messed up or just got a mental problem. No, I'm talking about when you know. I mean, there's a manifestation of a devil, demons, more than one in a person. Because I've dealt with them in people's life. And I guess the most that I know of that I've ever been dealt with in a person that I've cast devils out of that was in a person was around about 18 that a person actually had. Now, only one spirit possesses a person, but the others can come in if the door is open. And usually the one that possesses a person, he's one of the rulers of the darkness of this world, and he just kind of controls all the rest of them. That's the way it works. And of course, I didn't come up with that. Jesus said that to Brother Hagin, and he told him and taught him about how demons get in people. And it's in the book, I Believe in Visions, and it may be in a few more of Dad Hagin's books that tells you about that. But I know in certain cases when I could not, you know, I'd done everything I knew to do and then still was not getting any results. Because normally you get results fast. I mean, demons can't hang around forever. And sometimes, and of course, people has gotten, I'd say, perturbed at me because I wouldn't stand and scream at somebody and command the devil to come at them for 3 hours and get mad. I remember I was in a church one time, and of course, the pastor's done gone on to be with heaven now, and he found out now I was right, but excuse me. But he's done gone on to be with heaven. But they got concerned at me at their church. I had a pretty good-sized church, and I was preaching. There's been years ago, and I don't say this, but we was having demons manifest themselves in the service. I had to command them to shut up. They was writhing down the floor like snakes. I mean, just different things. And they were just disrupting the service. And they was kind of concerned, perturbed. You could call it mad in the country, you know, at me, because I didn't just stop the whole service and give it to them. But the Holy Ghost told me not to. He said, don't give place to that devil. Tell him to shut up and tell the ushers to put him in there in the back room back there, and you'll come back here and deal. Well, I went back in the back room afterwards and dealt with him. Took me about 15 minutes. I dealt with him, told the devils what to do. And, of course, when I got through, the person sat there looking as nutty as they did before I went in there. And I turned around and said, let's go eat. You're going to leave this person? I said, no, I ain't going to leave this person. The devil's going to leave that person. I said, I spoke in faith, and that devil's got to come out. And I said, I don't care when it happens. Sometimes, you know, they try to hang around a while. But I know this, if you treat trying to make the devil come out on your own ability, he knows you ain't got it to start with. Because you're operating in the flesh. But if you speak by the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, and understand the blood of Jesus, that devil's got to go. I'm telling you, he cannot stay there. He may try to hang around a little bit. And I'm not saying there might not be cases. Now, I've dealt with cases longer because I was led to by the Holy Spirit. But not in that case, I wasn't. But anyway, the people got perturbed. But I know through my experience, I'd had more experience at dealing with demonic forces in things over the years. And I told them, I said, all this is going to do is wear us out. You know, and they just want to take over and make a show. And I said, we're not going to, I don't believe that I'm supposed to minister to them anymore. But anyway, there was a misunderstanding, not on my part, I don't believe, but on their part. But I have dealt with cases where the Lord would just tell me, just plead the blood of Jesus. Or read scriptures out of the Bible. Sometimes He'll tell me, just read scriptures out of the Bible. And, you know, I don't carry on conversations with the demons or anything like that. And I would read about the Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I would read some of these scriptures we're reading right here because I was led to. Not because I just had a formula that I'm going through and dealing with these cases. And these demons sometimes would cry out through these people's voice. I'm talking about total possession. I ain't talking about some Mickey Mouse stuff. I'm talking about total possession. And these demons would cry out and they would say, that's not true! That's not true. I was there. I saw Him. I saw Him. He was crucified on the cross. I saw Him. Well, is that true or is it not true? Well, it could very well be true. Because in the spirit realm, you know, they're around. They have a right to be here. I said, I saw Him when He was crucified. I saw Him. But I would read that He rose from the dead, that Jesus shed His blood, and them demons would turn loose and leave them people. But it was amazing how those things would happen just because of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus. In other cases, and don't go out and write a book about it, okay? But there have been cases that the Lord told me to take anointing oil. Anointing oil, and He said, touch their forehead. But I was led by the Spirit. And the person, the demon would cry out, it burns! It burns! That's what they would say. Now, I didn't do it to torment anybody, but the Lord said, do it. Well, did it burn? No, it didn't burn me. I had it on my finger. Did the oil itself, in and of itself, have any burning powers? No. But what happened? It represented something. It represented the anointing, and it represented obedience on my part. Why did I have to put anointing oil? Why not couldn't have put the lard on Him? Maybe lard would have worked. Do we still have lard?
Yeah,
we do. We still got lard. That's what Granny used to cook in biscuits with. I mean, she'd stick her hand down in that bucket. I mean, it just gob that stuff up. Man, I'm telling you the truth about it. I think Emory down there is full of them folks now. Is that true? But anyway, I remember that stuff. You know, you have to turn that top loose and all. But anyway, devils have got to go because of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has been doing his best in this nation, even now, to disrupt what the president is supposed to be doing. Everything that's going on now that you're hearing in the news is a smokescreen given by the devil to take away President's meditation on what he really should be doing. But I'll tell you what will stop it. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Listen, the heathen don't run this nation. There's a law that supersedes anything that the human being does. It's the law of the blood of the Lamb and faith in that blood. Because of the blood of Jesus, you and I can control this nation. We can pray this nation into the place that it needs to be in because of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the covenant contract, New Testament that was ratified and sealed through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the things that are going on now is a smokescreen in our government in order to hinder President from doing what he's supposed to do. Remember when Jesus told the disciples, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side? What happened out there in the lake? It was a storm, isn't that right? That overcame and it tried to upset the plan and purpose of God. Well, there's storms that come, but the storms will have to go. No storm will supersede the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand the blood. Yes, there's other variables that fit in with that blood, but you, if you hang around here enough and been around here enough, you've been taught from every direction about the name of Jesus and the power of God and faith in God. But the blood of Jesus is one thing that God began to speak to me about this morning, just renewing my faith and reminding myself about the power of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil's got to go. The devil tried to shut us down, but God is opening this thing up. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans chapter 3, verse number 25. We'll just start in verse number 21, if that's all right. But Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, but now, say now. In other words, it's done. It is already accomplished. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His, what? Blood. Faith in what? We've had faith in a lot of things. We've had faith for a lot of things. But here it says, through faith in His blood. Do you know what Satan is after in our lives? He's after our faith in the blood. He's after our faith in the blood. He wants you and I to think that maybe if you do this enough or do that enough or work your way here, and he tries to keep you in a place of condemnation and a place of shame and a place of guilt where that you won't approach God. But if you have faith in that blood, you know that His blood cleanses us from all sin. We'll show you a scripture in the Bible so we can just run Satan off. What do we use the Word of God for? That's one of our weapons against him, is the Word of the living God. But it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. But what I want to point out here is faith in His blood. God wants you to have faith in the blood of Jesus. How much faith do I have in the blood? How much faith do you have in the blood? I believe that the blood that was shed on the mercy seat in the heavens, the blood that was sprinkled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has totally set me free in every single area. That blood has given me victory over every devil, over every demon. That blood has given me victory over the old, what we would call Adamic nature that I was born with. That blood came to set me free. I can have faith in that blood. When it can't seem like I can't put one step and foot in front of the other, you might say, and it looks like there's no way out of the dilemma, I can have faith in that blood, that that blood is already paved a way for me. And all I've got to do is boldly declare, how do I release my faith? Well, the primary way is you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. I have faith in that blood. I have faith. Yes, we have faith in the name of Jesus, but we need to have faith in the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're zeroing in on today. talking about the blood, magnifying the blood, lifting up the blood. And I'll tell you what the devils are doing now. They're trembling. They're shaking. They're saying, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Why? Because the blood of Jesus, they know, is their demise. When Jesus offered up His blood to His death, shed blood, burial, and resurrection, and when God raised Him from the dead, and He went into the heavenly Holy of Holies, and He offered His blood on the mercy seat. In fact, when God raised Him from the dead, that's the only way He could get there, up there. God vindicated Him and said, all right, son, I've opened the door up. The Holy of Holies is open. Come on for the human race and offer your blood here in the heavenly Holy of Holies. And His blood is yet speaking today, not only from the earth, but throughout the heavens. That blood was offered up. And because of that blood, the devil has got to get out of your way. Because of that blood, the devil's got to get out of my way. Because of that blood, sin no longer has power over me. Because of the blood, the Adamic nature no longer can control me. Because of the blood, I've got a sound mind. Because of the blood, I'm healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Because of the blood, I'm blessed. And all my needs are supplied according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's because of the blood and faith in that blood that puts us in the place that we need to be. So just decide that you got faith in that blood. That blood has established us and born again Christians. And somebody says, what's wrong with you? Just tell them, I've been washed in the blood. That's what's wrong with me. I've been washed in the blood. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Woohoo! I know my daddy, before he wanted to be with Jesus, one of his favorite songs was, there's power, power. That's just the way he'd sing. Wonder working power. He never could sing. But he'd sing, that's power in the blood. He'd get so happy, he'd get to dancing and staggering around. He did get under the power of God, and sometimes he'd just pass out. Be slain in the spirit while he's singing about power in the blood. When you get to singing about the blood, you get to talking about the blood, the angels start coming in, amen? Because they want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ who shed His blood, and they join in with us. If you want the devil to leave your house, just get in there and start praising the Lord for His shed blood. If you want Him to leave your pocketbook and bank account, you just start praising God about the blood. If you want the blessings of God to come in your life, just start praising God and the Lord Jesus Christ about the blood. Make much of the blood. Magnify the blood. And the devils will tremble and they will leave. The devil, praise God and plead the blood over your children. And I'll guarantee you the devil will leave them alone. Because I know today there's a lot of things out there to grab a hold to them. But the blood of Jesus will put a protection over your children. And if you're their parents, or even if you've adopted them, you're still their parents. That's the way it works. When you sign the papers on somebody, brother, you claim them. I'm here to tell you right now. My wife, was adopted, and she understands the total plan of adoption. In fact, she never even wanted to find a real parent. So when they come, in fact, I even offered one time. I said, if you want to find your real parents, which she never said it to me. I said, I'll pay whatever it costs. We'll get a private investigator, because I thought that, she said, oh, no. She said, I'll take you and show you my real parents. I said, oh, you know where they're at? She said, oh, yeah. Come on. So I got in the car, man. I was excited. I thought she'd done, and we drove right over there to her mom and daddy, J.E. Thornton and Mary Frances Thornton. Amen. She said, that's my mom and daddy. She said, they bought me. They bought me. They paid for me. Do you know that there's a man named Jesus Christ that bought you? Oh, I'm going to show you. It's in the Bible. He bought you. You've been adopted. Yeah, we might have been scoundrels at one time, but we've been adopted into this family. I mean, we're the royal bloodline now. Somebody said, I'd like to be born in the palace over yonder. I'd like to be Queen Elizabeth's son, or I'd like to be Princess Charles's boy, or, I'd like to be President Bush's daughter, or whatever. I'm here to tell you, I am somebody else. And I'm telling you, it has more royalty and credibility than anything else on this planet. And that's because I've been born again and washed in the blood. And now I can be called a son of God. And if you're a female, you can be called a daughter of God. Amen. We have to distinguish that today, you know. But Acts chapter 20. Yes, you've been bought. I'm telling you, Jesus bought you. He paid for you. He loved you. Yes, He loved you before you was even born. He decided that He wanted you. And He was going to pay the price. He was going to pay the ransom. The ransom price was the shed blood of man. Jesus paid the ransom. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, or take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath what? Purchased with His own blood. Whew. Do you know what? Jesus thought that you were so valuable that He purchased you. He bought you. He paid the ransom for you. Yes, we were scoundrels in our past. And yes, we might have been condemned and we was on death row. Don't know if you ever been on death row or not. You might not have known it, but you was on death row. Every human being has been on death row. Why? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were all on death row. We were condemned to die, but there was a man that stepped up there, an attorney that's better than Perry Mason. That's better than Matlock. And I'm telling you, His name was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And He stepped up and He said in the courtroom and Supreme Court of Heaven, and He said, I would like to plead their case. And He stood up there and they said, how do you qualify to plead their case? He said, because I paid the price for them and I purchased them and I'm standing the gap for them. He bought you with His blood. And because you've been purchased with His blood, you belong to Jesus and the devil has no right in your life. You belong to the Father God and the devil has no right in your family. In fact, you just take the blood of Jesus and you apply it spiritually in every area of your life. Make much of the blood. Plead the blood. Have faith in the blood. Why? Because you've been purchased through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I've been purchased by the blood, what can I do? I can go on in Christ. I can put the past behind me. Our best days are yet ahead of us. Aren't you glad? And because of the blood of Jesus, in fact, you can make so much of the blood of Jesus that the devil can't get nowhere around you. Amen? Just get the blood of Jesus rolling and set people free in the name of Jesus. But you notice what the Scripture says, that God says, which He hath purchased with His own blood. So Jesus Christ has purchased us and set us free. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I believe we're going to start reading around verse 7. We'll know when we get there. We'll just start in verse 3, I guess. It'll be all right. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had. What does that mean? That's already been done. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children, which we were just talking about, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, how? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let me read verse 7 to you out of the Amplified. It amplifies it. It says, in Him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through His blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of His gracious favor. But He says here, we have redemption through His blood. What is redemption? It is deliverance and salvation. You know, deliverance would be one thing, but salvation to go with it is another thing. Just being set free from where we were at is good, but thank God we're set free from the past, but we've got a future because of salvation. Thank God, because of the blood, you've been born again. Because of the blood, I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. Amen? You may need to get like my daddy sometimes. My daddy was. Just get to singing Power in the Blood. He'd get to singing and trying to clap his hand and stomp his foot at the same time, and he couldn't do it. He just wasn't geared that way. He'd get so out of clapping tune with his timing of his music, and he wouldn't be in the right key, but he'd be so happy, he'd be happier in hog water than slop. I'm telling you, he'd get happy, and he'd just get to walking around and around. I could see him up in front of that old tent now, walking in those old hay. Sometimes it'd be sawdust, but the old hay that we'd sprinkled out there on the ground. And Daddy'd be walking around there just singing and clapping and stomping his feet. And he'd get to stomping both of them, you know. And then if he ever got to doing his head like that, he's fixing to go somewhere. And he wouldn't be long before, whop, he'd be on the floor. He'd be out in the spirit. People would come up there trying to fan him, you know, and everything. They didn't understand it. And they'd say, what's wrong with your daddy? I said, I don't know, but he always comes back to sit down. He'll tell us what he wants to tell us when he gets back. But he'd just sing himself happy about the blood. In fact, that's the way Daddy went to heaven. He sang himself happy. He sang himself out of here. That's what he told. He made the decision that he was going to go. Somebody said, you don't have control of when you're going to go. Yes, you do. You can decide to stay or you can decide to go. Dad Hagin always told us, he said, if you hear that I'm gone, you'll know I got satisfied. And I made the decision to go, so we know he got satisfied. But my daddy told my mother the night before he went, he said, my mother, Mama Mert's coming. That's my grandmother on my mother's side. And he said, my daddy's coming. And he said, I'm going with him. And of course, he thought he was out of his mind. But he sat up in the bed and started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He got happy. I can see him now. I can see him doing it. You need to get to shaking his head. And I believe he just fell back at the Holy Ghost and shoo. All the nurses said that he was just singing so loud and he was so joyful that they went down there on the third shift and they sang with him because they were Christian nurses. They sang with him. Yeah, hallelujah. You know, and then they had to go about their duties and they heard him get quiet and they went back to check on him and he was gone. He sang himself out of here. So if you want to go, just start singing. No, he had finished his course. I hear him back there. Yeah, yeah, they're getting a load up now, Pastor said. Yeah, hallelujah. But you know what? If you listen to the Lord's got some things for you to do yet. We want to go. Yes, we're longer. Paul, you know what? It's not wrong to want to go. Don't get me wrong. Because Paul, being our example, says, I'm in a strait between two. He said, I want to go. He said, but it's better if I stay. Right now, I need to stay here. There's something for me to do, but I want to go. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to go. There's nothing wrong with over there if you have it in a proper perspective. You know, we all want to go. That's what we signed up for. You know, that's what we got the tickets for, you know, when the bus comes. But it also, there's jobs that need to be accomplished on this earth that God needs men and women like us and like many others that will accomplish His plan in this earth and see it come to pass and take place. But He says here, that we have redemption through His blood. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And by no means, you know that we're not exhausting every scripture in the Bible about the blood. I just got a few of them that I thought would be interesting to you because, again, the way I got this, I didn't know I was going to go this way. But this morning, just in preparation and in praying and meditating and worshiping the Lord, He began to talk to me about the blood. And I believe what He told me was, these words came to me. Make much of the blood. Make much of the blood. The blood is going to put us over in this day. The blood's going to put this nation over. I don't care how far that it's gone yonder way. and how hopeless it may seem. The devil's trying to tell us that it's not going to work. He's trying to tell us there's no way out. He's trying to tell us he's hemmed us up. But I'm here to tell you, we're not hemmed up. There is a way out. It's the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood. So we're going to make much of the blood. If the Lord wants me to make much of the blood, I'm sure He wants you to make much of the blood. Make much of it. Well, we had one scripture there that said faith in His blood. We need to have faith in that. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. Oh, we'll start reading up here, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, nobody paid money for you, physical money, from your vain conversation or lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? The precious, notice it said precious, blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He said, what was we delivered with and redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. So what do? We make much of that blood. Because of the blood, I'm redeemed. When am I going to be redeemed? I'm already redeemed. When are you going to be redeemed? You're already redeemed. When are you going to be set free? You're already set free. And what faith does, it reaches out and grabs a hold to that truth and takes it for its own. That's what faith does. It grabs a hold to truths that belongs to Him. I'm already set free. I'm already redeemed. I'm not trying to get redeemed. I'm not trying to get set free. But I'll tell you, the struggle of the Christian walk, from my own experience and also from preaching across the United States and some in other countries and talking to people over the years and experiencing things and talking to people and things, one of the biggest struggles I believe that we have in the Christian world is accepting that what Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. We're always trying to get somewhere instead of be somewhere. It's already done. I don't have to get something. I've got it. And there's another side to every message, you understand. But the truth about it is, according to God, He's already set you free. According to God, I'm already healed. According to God, I'm already blessed. But what we try to do, we try to somehow think if we do this and do that, then one day it's going to come to us. And listen, there's things that we need to do. But what we need to do is just to accept the fact that it's done. It's already done. It's already accomplished. But what the enemy wants you to do is keep you running. Remember that story that I've told about the clowns riding the donkey? Remember the clowns tried to ride the donkey? They was under their big circus tent and there was 4 or 5 clowns out there, you know, and this donkey was sitting down on his rear end, you know, out there, and these clowns are trying to tug on him and pull his ear, pick up his tail, trying to lift him up so they could get on him and ride him. 5 clowns around there. And they're working up a sweat, you know, trying to get this donkey and flipping over him, and the kids are just howling with laughter, you know, because this donkey just sitting there like, what's wrong with you? I'm not moving. You know, sitting there. But one clown stops and he analyzes the situation, scratches what little hair he has, you know. All painted up with rosy cheeks and hair poking in every direction, you know, and polka-dotted clothes on. He disappears out of the arena and behind the curtain. And everybody's wondering where he goes, and these other 4 clowns are wondering, and they're still working trying to get the donkey up. And all of a sudden, one of these clowns went behind the curtain. He hops back out, and he's got a fishing pole in his hand with a string attached to it. And they thought, well, what in the world is this? Is he going to use a fishing pole and a fishing line and whoop a donkey? You know, that would be cruel to beat him like that, you know. Maybe Tappy wouldn't hurt him, but, you know. And so they walked up there, and all these other clowns, he stopped them, you know, and get back, you know. And they said, what you going to do, you know. And he reached into his pocket, and he pulls out this big, red, delicious, juicy apple with a long wooden stem, and he carefully attaches it to the line that's attached to the end of that fishing pole. And then he says, all right, boys, get back. And he gets a straddle of that donkey. This donkey's still in a sitting position, you know. And he takes that apple out there on the end of that pole that's dangling by that string, and he dangles it in smelling distance of the donkey's nostrils, but out of biting distance of the donkey's teeth. Guess what the donkey tried to do? He tried to bite the apple. But in the process of trying to bite the apple, he had to get in an upright position and stand to his feet. And so when he reached out to bite the apple and he took a step, the apple moved. So he took another step, and the apples moved. And then all of a sudden, the donkey is galloping around the arena trying to get this apple. And everybody's going wild. Woo! You know, this clown is riding this donkey, and this donkey's chasing this apple. All the clowns would take turns riding double until all the clowns had ridden. And this donkey's working up a lather. Running around and around this ring, working up a sweat. You know, listen, hold it, stop. As long as the donkey chases the apple, he'll never get it. Why? Because the apple's attached to his back. And every step he takes, there's a step that the apple takes. So what's the solution? Stop, throw the dumb clown off his back, and eat the apple. Now, you're laughing at the donkey. But the devil saddles up Christians just like that every day. And he throws the promises of God way out yonder, like one day if you run hard enough, if you work hard enough, you'll get the apple. You'll never get the promises by chasing them or putting them in your future. The only way that you'll ever have the promises is stop, throw the dumb devil off your back and say, it's mine. It's mine when? Now. Why? Because of what Jesus done way back yonder. Because of the blood of the Lamb, the promises of God are already mine. I'm blessed. In fact, you can declare today and won't be lying, I'm blessed. You can declare that all of my needs are supplied according to His riches and glory, and you won't be lying. You'll be telling the truth. Now, the devil will try to tell you you're lying, because why? He'll get you to try looking for it. Show it to me. You know, a lot of people in the Christian world are like Thomas. They're not going to believe unless they can see. But that's not Bible faith. Bible faith is believing that you have something that has not yet manifested itself in the physical world that you live in. That's what faith is. But that's how you bring it into the physical world that you live in. How? Obtain it through your faith. Isn't that right? So what are we going to do? We're going to have faith in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to chase the blessings of God. We're not going to chase our redemption. I'm not going to be healed in the sense of God speaking about it and God doing it. Why? Because I'm already healed. You're not going to be healed. Why? Because you're already healed. You're not going to be blessed. You're already blessed. Isn't that right? And that's where we got to come to. Through the blood of Jesus, it has opened the door for me to say that it's mine. Now, there may be a process that I go through in obtaining the blessings because the enemy's tried to block them for years. We've had things in our life. You know, we've had questions. We've had thoughts. We've had doubts, you know, about it. We've had failures, and the devil always throws that up to you. But if you'll just hang on to the Word and hang on to the blood, you'll walk out successfully with everything that the Bible promises that belongs to you. So, you have redemption through His blood. The precious blood of Christ. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Pastor Danny Wallace used to call it Baby John. He called St. John Big John. So I'll borrow that. He's over in heaven. He certainly knows the truth now. He could tell us a thing or two, couldn't he? Woo! 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the what? Blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And what that's talking about, he says, if we say we have no sin, that's what he's talking about when a person knows that they've done wrong, and they don't admit it, then you can't get forgiven for it. But if you know you've done wrong, he says, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All I want to ask you, when are you going to be cleansed from your sin? When am I going to be cleansed from my sin? I already am. In the Supreme Court of Heaven, the blood of Jesus has already been shed. The blood has already taken care of it. Now, yes, there's another side to acknowledging it, but the moment you slip or trip, and we're not, like Brother Hagin says, we're not giving people a license to sin, because most people don't need a license. They'll do enough of it without it, he used to say. So we're not saying that, or anyway, or giving people, saying just go out and do it. But I'm here to tell you, if you slip and trip and make a mistake, God's not trying to keep you out of heaven. The devil is. God's not trying to keep you out of heaven. The devil is. God's not trying to keep me out of heaven. The devil is. God's not trying to keep the human race out of heaven. The devil is. He's trying every way he can to get you in there. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you. I said he's not going to give up on you. Now, I don't know what you do, but sometimes I encourage the Lord. You know, he encourages us, but I encourage him. I say, Lord, don't give up on me. I'm going to make it after a while. He's a man of faith. I mean, he's got more faith in us than we've got in ourselves. He's got faith in you, and he knows you're going to make it. He knows you're going to accomplish everything that he called you to accomplish. He knows that you're going to do everything that you're supposed to do. See, he can cause you to walk in ways that you thought you never could just by faith in him, trust in him. So have faith in the blood. Make much of the blood. Know that you've been redeemed by the blood. And know that the blood of Jesus Christ is a weapon that God has given you to overcome in this life. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We'll maybe read a few more verses, but at least Revelation chapter 12. As far as I know, this is the last set of scriptures here that we'll read this morning. But the Lord this morning just said, make much of the blood. Revelation 12, we'll start at verse 7. And read on down there to about verse 12 or wherever, somewhere right in there. Revelation 12, verse 7 says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the what? That means he's down here. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. But notice here, he said he's here on the earth now, but look at verse 11. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So here we've got a scriptural fact that we overcome the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony, are the words that we speak from our mouths. Jesus said you can have what you say. And you can. If you say it from your mouth, believe it in your heart, it will come to pass in your life eventually. Everything that you say in faith don't come to pass immediately. It starts coming to pass immediately, but it don't necessarily mean that everything that you say in faith is going to happen instantaneously, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen instantaneously. Some things take time to develop. And in the process from you starting to say and believe God to the time that you receive the total manifestation, then there's a battle that goes on with the enemy. Satan comes and tries to discourage you and say, God doesn't hear you. God is nowhere around. Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just quit? You know this is not working. You know, look at the circumstances. Look, the symptoms are still there. In fact, they're worse than they was the last time you went. Oh, and yes, this report is worse than the last report. So what does the devil do? He just piles it on you. Well, what do? We stand up and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus is still speaking today, and you've got to get out of here in Jesus' name, and the Word of God is true, and I'm not going to back up, and I'm not going to give in. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb has set me free. So what are we going to do today? We're going to stand on the blood. We're going to make much of the blood. We're going to have faith in the blood. We're going to remember that it's through His blood that we've been redeemed. It's through His blood that we've been set free. through His blood, everything that God promised to the human race already belongs to you and to me. It belongs to every person because of the blood. What are we going to do? We're going to remember that it's already mine. I don't have to acquire it one day. It's mine today, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what the circumstances say, regardless of what the symptoms say, it's already mine. Regardless of what the checking account says, the checkbook says, the wallet says, it's already mine now, and I'm going to walk it out in my life, and nothing can stop me. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. What was I redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. What was you redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. And what is still speaking today? The precious blood of Christ. What has set me free from the devil? The precious blood of Christ. What has set me free from sin? The precious blood of Christ. What has set me free from the old Adamic nature? The precious blood of Christ. What has set me free from poverty and lack and sickness and defeat? The precious blood of Christ. So what are we going to do? Make much of the blood. Think about the blood. Appropriate the blood. Apply the blood. Just like the children of Israel were told to take the lamb and slay it, and then take the blood and put it over the doorpost of their house, and the deaf angel couldn't come in. I'm here to tell you, in the day that you live in, take the blood and put it over the doorpost of your life, the doorpost of your family, the doorpost of your church, the doorpost of your community, and tell the devil he cannot cross the bloodline. He can't do it. The old timers, they knew something about this. You hear Sister Billy Brim, sometimes she gets to talking about the blood, and she'll tell you a lot of stories about them pleading the blood. Well, I remember coming up in church, it was talked about much, and I believe that we've got to come back to that place, because the Lord just said to me this morning, make much of the blood. It's the blood, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. It's the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, sins have been remitted. They've been washed away. Glory to God. You might want to even sing that song. There's power in the blood. I've been washed into blood. Why? Because make much of the blood, and you're going to come out on top. What are we going to do? We're going to have our foundation in the blood. And everything else is built on the blood. The blood of Jesus is the foundation of all Christianity. The blood of Jesus is the foundation of all Christianity. The blood of Jesus is the foundation of all Christianity. The blood of Jesus is the foundation of all Christianity. Every promise, every blessing, every word of God is founded upon that blood. Without Jesus Christ shedding His blood, we would have never been redeemed, would have never been set free, would have never been forgiven. So of everything else in our life, let's constantly remember the blood. Remember the Lord said to me this morning, make much of the blood. That's all He said. So I went to the Bible and started looking at some scriptures on the blood, because there's many more. You know, we go in many directions. You can go do your own study, but make much of the blood. Put the blood around your family, around your finances, and around your home, around your community, around your neighbors. Make much of the blood. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus.